As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This roster that Ryan's already built, it is stocked, it's loaded. Everyone wants to talk about the quarterback, and Caleb, I'm excited to work with you, but it's going to take more than just you.
Trying to escape, throws it out to Warren, who leaps over one. He's down the sideline, still in bounds.
He's unbelievable.
Roseman in trouble, and goes down.
Mace. In the place, Mazie Graham.
And typical Ashton Jeanty, look at him go! You can't bring him down! Is he? Yes, he will!
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Let's go to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. That is where we bring in one of our favorite guests. Download the Circa app today. It is Trevor Sikkema, the lead NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. He is at Tampa Bay Trey on X, and he is always incredibly helpful and informative. No better time than this week. So, Trevor, thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you guys having me. Exciting week.
It always is, and I just want to start by asking you this. This is arguably the time where you have the most appearances, the most of everything you do. How much are you even sleeping on draft week?
We're still trying to get 6 hours at least per night, but, sometimes that doesn't always happen. It's not just me, a lot of our team, we put in a lot of really, hard work to make this week a lot of fun. So we try to remind ourselves that it's a lot of work, but we are having a lot of fun and we do this week, but, sleep is at a premium. We'll get to sleep after Saturday.
Trevor, I want to ask you, because we are now here NFL draft week, what has changed the most since your initial draft thoughts coming maybe out of the combine or just before the combine? I just want to try to follow the evolution of this thing on the whole.
Yeah, I think that I feel as though we're getting a lot more edge rushers drafted in the first round of this draft than maybe what we previously thought. It felt like it was sort of all over the place with the defensive line. It was like, all right, well, the defensive line, I'd say defensive tackles as well. It's a really deep class. Are we going to push those guys down the board? Are we drafting more skill position guys, more offensive guys? And the closer we get to draft week, and I understand that, it's lying season, as they say, as we get closer to the draft here, just a few days away now. I still feel as though it's going to be heavier on the defensive line than we previously believed. I just think that the talent in this draft is too solid at the top of defensive line to where, like, since the combine, that is really where my mind goes. It's going to be littered with defensive linemen in the first round, edge rushers and defensive tackles.
So that said, of course, we're thinking about the Bears. How do you think that shakes out when they have a pick in the top 10? They've added to their defensive line, but they could always do a little more.
I think that it really shapes up pretty well for them, because at number 10, I think the home run offensive picks, if they're going to make one, are Ashton Jeanty and then Tyler Warren, right? Those two guys are the ones that are most mocked to the Bears, I think, right now at number 10 overall. But let's say there's a world where neither of them are on the board, right? Let's say Ashton Jeanty goes number 6 to the Raiders. Let's say Tyler Warren goes to the Jets at number 7. I think they would still then feel pretty good about who's going to be left with them at the defensive line spot. If you're going defensive tackle, maybe Mason Graham gets to you. Maybe it's Walter Nolan from Ole Miss. If it's edge rusher, maybe, you know, it's a guy like Mike Green. Maybe it's a Mykal Williams, a Shamar Stewart, depending on what you think of Jalen Walker. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of different options for them. And so how the Bears have really navigated, not just this offseason, but last offseason as well, sets them up very, very well in this draft to have the best player available approach at number 10. And that could include trading back in this draft because you know that you feel good about having two early second round picks too. So I think that Ryan Poles is basically in every GM's dream, you know, having the ultimate flexibility to attack this draft the way that he wants to.
So no trades as of yet. Do we expect that to change between now and the draft? Because it's kind of crazy that we haven't had any movement.
I think we're getting at least one, but you just listen to how general managers have been talking over the last week, I would say, because a lot of them do their, you know, pre-draft press conferences with the media. And I think there are a lot of teams in this draft that want to move back. And I just don't think there are as many teams that, as they say, it takes two to tango, want to pay the price to move up, even if that price is a little bit discounted given the class. So I think that there's plenty of teams that they're going to want to have some movement, but most of them are going to want to be moving back. I think a lot of teams realize that the strength of this draft class really comes from rounds 2 through 4. The more picks that you have, rounds 2 through 4, now that's not to say that you don't want to pick in the first round, of course, but the teams that have the most selections there, we might look back on and say, yeah, those are the teams that absolutely won the 2025 NFL draft. So I think we get at least one in there, right? There's been some rumors about Denver maybe getting aggressive to trade up. Maybe the Steelers could do the same thing. You know, teams like the Ravens, the Niners, the Chargers, you know, they have double-digit picks in this draft. And so I think that they could certainly be aggressive to move up as well. We know, you know, general managers like Chris Ballard, for example, at number 14 with the Indianapolis Colts, he's often looking to trade back. I think Jason Light for the Buccaneers picking at number 19, it's the same way. They're looking to move back because they often are, because they love more darts at the dartboard, as the analogy goes. But I just don't know how many teams are going to be willing to pay the price that other teams would be comfortable with moving back to move up for a certain player.
Yeah, we've talked a lot, Trevor, about just the similarity of players immediately, whether you think there might be 5 top draft picks where you have no doubts, or whether there might be even 6. Some guys say only 3. Where do you stand with the amount of players that you know are ones that teams are going to absolutely know who they're going to get versus the rest of the next level in this draft of talent?
I would say that there's 3 blue chippers in this class: Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Ash Njenti. I think that those are the 3 blue chip talents. What you see is what you get in the best way of what these players have been, especially 2024, but throughout their college careers, what we saw from them at the combine, how they tested athletically. Those are the dudes that are the most coveted. I think that after you get past those 3, there's a decent group of, you know, Mason Graham, Tetro McMillan, Tyler Warren, Colson Loveland, Armon Membu, Will Campbell. There's a lot of those guys that are sort of in that next group. I would say anywhere from, you know, ranking 4 or 5 on a big board to, let's say, 15, I think, is very similar. I think you could make a case for any of those guys to be within the top 10, right outside of the top 10. And then, you know, to take your point even further, I would say that from 15 to 50, I mean, the gap is so small between those players that I could have a player ranked mid-20s, and you guys could have a player ranked in the 40s, or vice versa. Like, I could have a player ranked in my 40s, you could have him ranked in the 20s, and I could probably understand why you got to that point of having them a little bit higher, just because it's all beauty is in the eye of the beholder in this draft. And that's why I think that we're all doing a lot of mock drafts. It's very natural to have a lot of groupthink around this time of the year with a lot of analysts, you know, having the same selections for teams. But to be honest with you, I think accuracy for mock draft scores is going to be lower than this year than we've seen in a long, long time, because I think the teams are just going to be very, very different on their board. There's those 3 guys that I mentioned at the top, but outside of them, it feels like it could be anybody within teams' top 10s.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We're talking to Trevor Sikkema. He is the lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. He also is the co-host of the NFL Stock Exchange show. You can see that on YouTube. On the Midday Show on the Score, it's Marshall Harris and Layla Rahimi. I also want to follow up by asking, because of that, if everyone is that similar, I think it's always funny when we talk about whether or not teams draft for position and need versus best player available. If you have that many guys who are similar in talent level, why would you not draft based upon need then?
Yeah, I think that every team's formula is a little bit different. They would obviously all love to tell you, oh yeah, we're playing best player available. Whoever's coming to our board, that's what we're going to do. But it's always a mix of both. You know, whether teams want to admit it or not, it's very rare that teams go just true best player available. Because a lot of times, okay, this might be the best player available on their board, but they might have built their board with their needs in mind, right? So I don't think it's ever. I think a lot of fans just go, oh, just go best player available no matter what. Obviously, you want to be able to do that and get the most out of these talents. But I do think that need is always built into it. So you bring up a good point. If that is the case, I think you will see teams drafting a little bit more for need because that difference of, well, this guy's still on the board and he's our best player available, the gap in talent between that player and somebody else might not be that wide. Again, once we get outside of Hunter, Carter, and Jenty, I think you can make a case for so many of these other players. And so I think that you are correct that we will see a lot more teams draft for need, if you will, because the gap isn't going to be that large between who might be on the board and who might help them out specifically in a certain roster spot.
Trevor, it's interesting because you mentioned the fact that there's so much depth there, I guess, after those top 15 or so players all the way to the back of the second round. And because of that, I'm just wondering, the idea of trading up sounds kind of insane if you're the Bears, right? From that 10 spot, what you would have to give up, you'd rather just keep the depth and just fill in as many needs as possible, then trade up from that 10 spot is what you're making it sound like, right?
That's the way that I think, yeah. Because especially the only player that I think the Bears would really want to be trading up for, not that anybody wouldn't love a Travis Hunter, right, if he's available, but I think the draft is going to go Cam Ward at number one. I think it's going to go Travis Hunter at number two to the Cleveland Browns. And so then the most realistic trade spot, I think, for Chicago is to get to number three to draft a dual Carter. You know, call up the Giants, you know, give them something that they would want. But I don't think Ryan Poles and the Bears are going to see the price tag similarly. The Giants are going to want something exorbitant to move from three to number 10, especially when passing on a blue chip type of a player like Abdul Carter. I just don't see the Bears wanting to pay that price. You know, maybe if it's them jumping one or two spots to jump a certain team to go get a certain player, like maybe I could see that. But again, it goes back to sort of what you guys were talking about before. I just don't know if there are going to be a lot of teams in this draft willing to pay the price to move up. There's going to be a lot of teams wanting to move back, but I'm just not so sure they're going to be able to find a dance partner. And Chicago's in too good of a spot, right? They have that pick at number 10. They have 39. They have 41. Yes, that could allow them to get more aggressive, but you also don't want to be reckless with those extra assets. And I feel as though what the Giants might want to get from number three to all the way back to number 10 might sound a bit reckless for the draft haul that the Bears could potentially get with those picks the way they have it right now.
Trevor, one of the things I like about PFF is you guys will wait a little bit before you release your big mock draft, like the one to rule them all. And I feel like that just happened. So I appreciate the intensive 7-round mock draft that you guys put together. Some of the highlights are Cam Ward, of course, going first overall, Shedeur Sanders second, Travis Hunter is third. And then you start to get into a little bit of the details. Like Mason Graham, we've heard, can go all over the place. PFF has him going 5 to Jacksonville. Tyler Warren, 7 to the Jets, something we've heard a lot about. And then you scroll down to the Bears. Saints are, according to this, and it would make sense if it happened, they do love a local pick, taking Will Campbell out of LSU. And then you have the Bears, PFF does, taking Armon Membu out of Missouri. What do you think about just what the Bears are doing in this latest edition of your mock draft?
Yeah, I think that when you look at an offensive line addition, it just all comes down to how you feel about Braxton Jones, right? I think that he has been solid for them, but do you want to do better than that? Do you want to make the offensive line even better? And that's when I think offensive line starts to come into the conversation. And it's just one of those realities that you sort of take a look at it and you go, does this make sense for this team? And I think that that was our big, you know, PFF analyst mock draft that a lot of people over at PFF sort of had their hand in controlling different teams. And the way that the board fell, I believe that is why the Chicago Bears ended up taking offensive linemen, because they said, all right, well, given that the top offensive weapons are off the board that they would want, they would say, hey, let's just go upgrade the offensive line and make it as good as possible. They already did that with their three interior players there. And maybe they think that another upgrade is still coming to Braxton Jones' spot if you get Armand Membu in there. So Membu is a fantastic prospect. He's a top 12 player for me. I think he's really good. And if you believe that he is that much of an upgrade, if the previous offensive weapons are off the board, you could definitely think about it there.
So I'm fascinated with this kind of late push at the tight end spot by Colston Loveland, and the way that people are parsing through how much better or not better you have the tight end grades when it's Loveland going up against Tyler Warren specifically. What do you see as the biggest difference there? And is there that big of a difference where those two guys will and should be drafted?
Yeah, I think that they're very close on my board. I believe they're ranked 12th and 16th on my final big board that I submitted yesterday. So I told myself I wasn't going to tinker with it anymore. Had to set a deadline, had to make it happen. So I submitted that last night, and I believe that Warren's at 12 and Loveland is at 16. So obviously not a big gap between those two guys. I think they're a little bit different stylistically. If you want a player who you feel a little bit better about being attached to the line of scrimmage, playing a little bit heavier with a little more weight on him, then you feel better about Tyler Warren. I think he could do the traditional inline tight end stuff well for you, as well as play in the slot, as well as play on the outside as an X. But if you want to lean more into the receiving game, not that Tyler Warren certainly can't do it, he can, but Colston Loveland, the way that he runs routes as a player who is almost 6'5", 250 pounds, I mean, it's just pretty rare, his movement skills there. So he also can play on the line of scrimmage. The conversation with him, in my opinion, is kind of similar to what it was with Brock Bowers last year, where they might not be this eraser of a blocker, that sixth offensive lineman, as you sometimes like to say with tight ends, but he is pretty good as a pound-for-pound blocker. You know, what he has, he is pretty strong for the size that he's got there on the line of scrimmage, but you're usually going to use Colston Loveland in the slot, sometimes out wide as that X receiver, and just the crispness and the separation that he has with his routes is so, so, so impressive. So I hear that the NFL thinks that these guys are very close, and there are some teams out there that might even have Colston Loveland above Tyler Warren, and so I think wherever you're thinking about this conversation of drafting Warren, the league might also be considering Colston Loveland at that spot.
Trevor, I know you're big on individual analysis of players as well. You have really good comp lists. Is there somebody in this draft that you think might surprise people, even when you talk about that second tier that is so deep, that might stand out to you or might be a steal in the first round even?
Yeah, I think that when I look at Gray Zabel, he's an interior offensive lineman. He's just the name that came to mind right when you said that. This is somebody who, back end of the first round, could be an early part of the second round. I feel he's like a Graham Barton type from what Tampa Bay was able to get at 26 overall last year. And Graham Barton stepped into center right away, and he was able to be fantastic for them. And so I think you have a starting interior offensive lineman no matter what at guard or at center. Barton ended up being my comp there for him. I'm a big Jahdae Barron fan as well. This is somebody who I feel like I'm a lot higher on than certain people around the league. It just doesn't feel like there's a lot of love for him, but elite PFF coverage grades this past season as an outside corner. The year before, he played in the slot and had a near elite coverage grade. The year before that, he played as a safety. So total versatility there to him. And when I saw him play on outside corner this past season, his best work is shades of Stephon Gilmore, where, okay, maybe he's not the fastest guy in the world, but off coverage, he plays it so smart. He knows how to bait those throws. He knows how to make sure that he's within striking distance to where those wide receivers are. He anticipates things well. He'll come down and he'll tackle for you. So, I mean, those are a couple of guys that I'm just higher on, I feel like, than most that I think are going to be fantastic pros, and those are my comps for him.
Trevor Sikkema, Pro Football Focus, the NFL Stock Exchange Show. Happy draft week. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the week.
You too. Get some sleep if you can. That is Trevor Sikkema joining us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. I really don't know how they do it at times like this.
Well, 6 hours of sleep is ambitious. I don't always get 6 hours of sleep, and that's just living regular life. To do that during this week for these guys, their Super Bowl, that's wild.
That's a goal, right?
Yeah, six is a goal.
Six is the goal.
Five and a half is usually where I end up. But
ooh, that's not enough. And here you are telling me I need more sleep.
We all need more sleep.